Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Pei Vav, page 86, here in Masechet Shabbos. And very appropriately, we're going to now be discussing the Gemara's lessons about how the Torah was given, what happened each day in the month of Sivan, and the details of Matan Torah. Of course, yesterday was the holiday of Shavuos. And as we've seen many times, Hashem has arranged that the Daf Hayomi has exactly the messages that we need to have each day. And we know that the holiday of Shavuos really should be more than just one day. The Gemara tells us in the Maseches Chagiga that every holiday there was a mitzvah to bring a special karbanos as part of the Aliyah LaRegel, part of the pilgrimage to the Yerushalayim. An olas ri'iyah, a karban ola, in honor of the fact that one was appearing in the Beis HaMikdash. Shalmei Chagiga, a karban shlamim, of Chagiga, of celebration for the holiday. Shalmei Simcha. What happens if a person didn't bring his karban olas ri'iyah on the Yom Tov, or his Shalmei Chagiga? There's a makeup period, that's called Tashlumin. And the same way that on Pesach there's a makeup period throughout Chol HaMoed in the last day of Pesach, and on Sukkos there's a makeup period of Chol HaMoed in the last day of Sukkos, even Shmini Atzeres, Shavuos also has makeup periods. And the makeup period for the Karbanos of Shavuos is now, this week, the entire 6 days after Shavuos are makeup periods when a person who didn't bring his Karban of Shavuos could still bring it. And so the Almighty arranges, who knows, that after we have Shavuos, now in these days of the makeup of Shavuos, of the continuation of Shavuos, the Daf Hayomi teaches us all about Matan Torah and all about the topic of Shavuos. So we're at the Mishnah here on Pei Vav, Amud Aleph, 86a. The Mishnah is part of a series of Mishnayos, of rabbinic laws that have an Asmachta. There's a verse that hint to these laws. Again, these are really rabbinic laws. These are not derived from Torah verses. They're not biblical laws. But there is a verse, either in Chumash or in Navi, which connects us to these laws and is a way to remember these laws. So the first principle that we need to introduce when we begin this discussion is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Almighty gave us the Torah on Har Sinai, it was given to a nation in a state of purity, a state of holiness. The Almighty did not give the Torah as somebody who is sharing information to people who are lightheaded, to people who are distracted, to people who are thinking about inappropriate thoughts. The Torah was given to a nation that was in a state of Kedusha, in a state of holiness. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded before the Torah would be given that everyone had to prepare for the receipt of the Torah. There had to be a fence constructed around Har Sinai to keep people away and even the animals away from going to the mountain. And the men and the women had to separate. They couldn't engage in marital relations so that they would all be in a state of purity, a state of seriousness, a state of holiness to receive the Holy Torah. Not only did the men have to be in a state of holiness, but the women as well. Says the Mishnah, Minayin lepoleta shichvaser b'yom ha'shlishi shetei tzmeya. How do we know that the same way if a man discharges semen, the man becomes impure with tumas keri, which is an impurity, that he goes to the mikveh that day, and then that night after the sun sets, he becomes pure. He becomes tameh for now, goes to the mikveh, and with nightfall, he becomes pure. How do we know that this impurity of tumas keri applies to a woman as well? If a man had relations with a marital relations with a woman, and so after the marital relations, the semen is coming out, the semen is bouncing out, it's discharging from her. How do we know that the semen that comes out of her would make her impure? And if she's impure, she has the status of a balas keri. Shenamar, because Hashem said, Hashem said at Matan Torah, at the giving of the Torah, be prepared for 3 days. Be prepared for 3 days. Different in regards to the men. So, okay, let's say the Torah was given on a Shabbos, like yesterday. So prepare for 3 days. On Wednesday, Hashem said, be prepared for 3 days. So that means the men have to stop having relations with their wives on Wednesday. If you're talking about the men, they could have gone to the mikvah on Wednesday. The Torah could have been given the next day. So why do they have to have 3 days? The 3 days is for the women. So if the man had relations with a woman on Wednesday, so she's going to be now discharging seed on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. But apparently that's it. If she discharges seed on Shabbos on the fourth day, that seed does not make her impure. So that's why all that was needed was 3 days of separation, because there'll be discharges of seed for 3 days. And after the third day, the seed is already not a seed that could create children. If it's not a seed that can create children, it's not a seed that when it discharges from a woman, it would make a woman impure. And therefore, the women could go to the mikvah on Friday night, Shabbos morning, even if there's going to be seed discharged from them, it's not going to make them impure. So on Shabbos morning, when Hashem gives the Torah, not only the men, but the women also are in a state of purity, holiness. They're in a state of no tumas keri, no impurity of the discharge of semen. And they're in the proper frame of mind to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holy Torah. In the frame of seriousness, of devotion, of no lightheadedness, of concentration. All right, now another source, which is again an asmachta. How do we know that if there was a circumcision, the baby is in danger for 3 days, and on the third day also we say that the baby is a cholash yesh basakana, an individual who's ill and there's a danger to his life, and therefore we can make a bath for the baby, we can cut wood, we can heat water, we can bathe the baby on the third day, even if that third day is on a Shabbos. Shenamaz, it says, Vayhi bayom ha-shlishi, it wasn't the third day. Piyosam kovim, when they were in pain. Where is this? It's the story with the war against Shechem. Shechem ben Hamor had kidnapped Dinah. And the people of Shechem all were partners to this crime of kidnapping Dinah. So Shimon and Levi, they spoke with cunning and they told the people of Shechem, if you all do bris milah, you'll be able to intermarry with us. So the verse says that they all did circumcision, all the people of Shechem. And on the third day, when they were in pain, Shimon and Levi attacked and they killed out all the people of Shechem. So you see that the people of Shechem were in pain on the third day. So you see that bris milah on the third day, there is continuing pain. So if that's true about there, with the story of the people of Shechem, it's true about a baby too. Therefore, a baby on the third day after the circumcision is in pain, his life is in danger, and therefore one would be permitted to violate Shabbos, to heat water, to protect the life of the baby. Thirdly, there is a correct practice in tying a red string on the head of the goat that is sent to the wilderness. Shenamaz, the verse says, if your sins will be like red scarlet, they will whiten like snow. If your sins will be like red scarlet, they will whiten like snow. So again, that's a hint to tying this red string on the goat that's sent to the wilderness. And we know that miraculously that string would turn into white. Finally, a fourth asmachta, minayin l'sicha kishtia. How do we know that the same way you're not allowed to drink liquids on Yom Kippur, you're also not allowed to apply ointments on your skin? So, an ointment application is like drinking. So, afishen ra'il adavar. Again, there's no explicit source, proof for it, but seichel adavar, there's a way to reminder for this. Shenamaz, the verse says, v'atavo kamayim b'kirbo, and it came like water in his midst. Hashem and Batzmosav, like oil into his essence, into his bones. Okay, now going back to the issue of Poleta Shechva Zera. The Mishnah had mentioned two concepts. Number one, that semen that bounces out of a woman, even 3 days after the act of intercourse, will make the woman a Baalat Keri, will make the woman impure. Another concept that the Mishnah had mentioned was that Bris Milah creates a danger for 3 days. And on the third day, one would be allowed to cook water in order to bathe the baby after the circumcision. Says the Gemara, Reisha, the first point of the Mishnah, that it's 3 days of semen bouncing out that makes the person impure, that it's bouncing out of that person. That's not like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, because we're going to see that Reb Elazar ben Azariah holds it's only 2 days. On the third day, according to Reb Elazar ben Azariah, when the semen comes out, it wouldn't make the person impure. Sefer, but then the next line of the Mishnah about Mila, that on the third day, the Bris Mila is a point of danger, and we can bathe a child to clean him on the third day. That is Reb Elazar ben Azariah. It is like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Now, how do we know that the first point, the point about semen, is not like Reb Elazar ben Azariah? Reb Elazar ben Azariah, because if you'd say like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, Tahora Shaman Aleh, we know that Reb Elazar ben Azariah holds that the woman is Tahora when the semen comes out on the third day. So the Gemara says, Madelo Muki Kitanai, those who don't like to say that a Mishnah is just, you know, one line is one Tana, one line is another Tana, they'll tell you like this, they'll change the language of the Mishnah. Tana Resha Tahora. You'll say that in the beginning of the Mishnah, it's not saying that the semen that comes out on the third day makes her impure and is impure, but rather the semen that comes out on the third day is pure. So then the first line, the line about semen bouncing out of a person, is like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. On day three, the semen is no longer good semen, and therefore it doesn't make the person impure. And the second line, the line about Bris Mila, is also like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. However, but those who are comfortable saying that a Mishnah is different lines from different Tanaim. Again, remember, the Mishnayos were written by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So he may have taken one line from one, according to one Tana. The next line is according to another Tana. And he himself is picking and choosing what he's agreeing with. So, but the one who's comfortable saying that a Mishnah is following the different views of different Tanaim, Reish Rabbanan. Okay, so the first line that says that semen coming out of a woman after intercourse on day three still makes the woman impure, that's against Reb Elazar ben Azariah. That's the Rabbanan. The safe. And then the second line, which says that on day three, to Bris Mila, the baby is still in danger, and you have to bathe the baby and be Mechal Shabbos, desecrate Shabbos to save the baby. That is Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So now we're going to go into this discussion of how long does semen that comes out after intercourse still make the woman impure. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned by our sages taught us in a Braisa, Poleta Sheikh Vazer by Yom HaShlishi. If a woman has intercourse and on day three after the intercourse, semen is coming out of her Tahora. She is pure. Divrei Reb Elazar ben Azariah. That's the view of Reb Elazar ben Azariah. However, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel says like this. He disagrees. He says that the semen that comes out on day three would make her impure. The semen that comes out on day four would be pure. She'd still be pure if semen came out on day four, because that's already semen that cannot create children. However, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, Reb Yishmael adds another point. He holds that part of the day is like the whole day. So therefore he says, Reb Yishmael Omer, Pamashin Arba Onos. Sometimes you have 12 periods. In other words, night is one period, daylight is another period, night is a period, daylight is another period. So sometimes you can have 4 periods. And in these periods, if she's discharging semen, she's going to be tummy. So let's say the intercourse occurred at the end of Wednesday, right before the stars come out to usher in Thursday. They had intercourse. So now the semen that will come out on the night that's going to be Thursday, that on Thursday morning, on the night that'll be Friday, and then on Friday morning, all of that is going to be impure semen. And will make her impure. Sometimes, let's say she had relations on the beginning of Wednesday. So then there'll be 5 periods. There'll be Wednesday during the daytime. There'll be Thursday night, Thursday during the daytime, Friday night, and Friday during the daytime. And you can even have 6 periods where the semen coming out would make her impure. Let's say she had marital relations on the beginning of the night that's going to be Wednesday. So what we call Tuesday night, what Halach would call, you know, Leil Revi, the night of Wednesday. So if she had relations at the beginning of that, so then there'll be all of that time period, then all of the daytime period of Wednesday, all of the nighttime period of Thursday, all of the daytime period of Thursday, all of the nighttime period of Friday, all of the daytime period of Friday. Rabbi Akiva says, La'olam chamish. It's always going to be 5 periods that semen coming out would make her impure. And therefore, im yatsa miktus on rishona, let's say part of the first period has already been done, and then she has relations, Nosnun La, then we give her Miktsas Onashishis. We give her, for her time of Tuma, a little bit of the sixth period. A little bit of the sixth period. A little bit of the sixth period. So that it's a total of five full periods in which semen coming out would make her impure. So we're going to see that there's going to be an argument on the Amud Beis. Before the giving of the Torah, when did the men separate from the women? Did the men separate from the women on Thursday, or did the men separate from the women on Wednesday? Everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos, and on Friday night, all the women went to the mikvah. So now the Gemara asks, Amru Rabbanan Kamedi Rav Papa. The students in the yeshiva said the following question in front of Rav Papa. Amila, some say, Rav Papa challenges to Rava. Mishmul Rav Elazar ben Azariah, I can understand according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, who says semen that comes out on day three is already pure. So that's Kerabana. That's like the Rabbana. Da'am you hold Bechamisha Avid Prisha. When the Torah was being given, the husband separated from their wives on Thursday. Okay, so if they separated on Thursday, and on Friday night, everybody went to the mikvah, so then Shabbos morning, no one was worried about, okay, semen coming out and people being tamei, because this is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and even Rabbi Shmuel, who says that on day three, if semen comes out on day three after the intercourse, a woman would be tamei. He'll tell you, Rabbi Yossi, he holds like Rabbi Yossi, Damar Bar Ba, Avid Prisha, that on Wednesday, before the Torah was given, the husband separated from the wives. El Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that if a woman has discharge of semen within five periods from when she had the intercourse, she's tamei. So kimat. So now, who does he hold like? If they had separated from the wives only on Thursday, certainly doesn't work, because on Shabbos you don't have five periods. And even if you're going to say that they separated on Wednesday, you still don't have enough time. You still don't have enough time, because you have to have five full periods. Says the Gemara, La'olam Rabbi Yossi. So Hitaka holds, Rabbi Akiva holds, that the men and the women separated on Wednesday. But Kedam Rav Adar Bar Ahava, but it's like what Rav Adar Bar Ahava explained. Rav Adar Bar Ahava explained, Moshe went up to Har Sinai when early in the morning. Bashkama Allah, he went up early in the morning to hear what God had to tell him. When he came down, it was also Bashkama Yarad. He came down early in the morning. Bashkama Allah, he went up early in the morning, as it says, Vayashki Moshe Baboker Vayal Har Sinai. He woke up early in the morning and he went up to Har Sinai. Bashkama Yarad, he came down early in the morning, Dosev, as it says, Lech Reid, go quickly, go down, Valisata Varonimach, and go up, you and Aaron with you. So Makish Yerida L'Aliyah. So there's a comparison here between the going down, because it says Lechweid, and next to it the word Valisa, to the going up. So Ma'aliyah Bashkama, just like going up was early in the morning, so to the going down was early in the morning. So since Moshe went up early in the morning, so when Moshe said to the men, separate from the women, it was early in the morning. So if it was on Wednesday early in the morning, so you have Wednesday, the daytime period. Then you have Thursday night. Then you have Thursday day. Then you have Friday night. Right? And then you have Friday day. So that's a total of five periods. So then the night after Friday day, Leil Shabbos, they went to the mikvah. And that's why Shabbos morning, there's no worry of any discharges of semen. Asks the Gemara, Lama Leilu Meim Luhu, why was there a need for a mitzvah to tell the men to separate from the women before the Torah was given? Vam Rav Huna, but didn't Rav Huna tell us, Yisrael Kadoshim Himin Misham Shemito Seim Bayom? Jews are holy, and they maintain purity. And Jewish men do not have marital relations during the day. So why are we saying now that early in the morning of Wednesday, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. Hashem told him the Jews should prepare for the Torah. Moshe comes down. He says early in the morning, all right, everybody, men, separate from your wives. Well, now they're not going to have relations anyway during the day. Answers the Gemara, maybe there would. Moshe was talking to the Torah scholars. Amar Rava, Rava said, Im haya bayis afel, if you're in a very dark room, mutter, one is allowed to have relations during the day. Amar Rava, Rava said further, Vitim Rav Papa, some say Rav Papa said, Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, who's very modest, mafil b'taliso, he's allowed to create darkness with his own cloak, umutter, and he's allowed to have marital relations by day. So since it was possible for the Torah scholars or for those living in dark rooms to have relations by day, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down early Wednesday morning, told everyone, all the men, to separate from the women. Okay, ask the Gemara. All right, everybody's agreeing that when did the women go to the mikvah? On the night before Kabbalah Satorah, Leil Shabbos. So how does that help? These women are still impure, because if they go to the mikvah after sunset of Friday night, so it's like a Baal Keri who goes to the mikvah, you still need the sunset of that day to happen to become pure. So they weren't fully pure. For them to become fully pure, they would need Seisa Kochavim of Shabbos. Answer the Gemara, Abaya Bar Rav and Rav Chanina Bar Rav and Dami Tarvayu. Abaya Bar Rav and Rav Chanina Bar Rav both explained. Nitna Torah l'tvulei yom. When Hashem gave the Torah, the Jews weren't in a state of complete purity. They were a little bit impure. The women had gone to the mikvah, and they were still waiting for the day to set to become completely pure. Okay, one second, a question. How could they have been Torah scholars if we did not have the Torah yet? Okay, so I think the answer to that question is that, first of all, we find that they had the seven Noahide laws. We also know that there were three laws given at Mara, as the verse says, Sham Samlo Choku Mishpat Visham Nisahu. And so, and also maybe you're seeing from here that a person who's a prophet, like a Moshe Rabbeinu, that itself makes him into a great scholar because he's connected to the will of Hashem and he knows what Hashem wants him to do. The Gemara, the Medrash tells us that Avram Avinu, even before the Torah was given, his two kidneys would guide him to do the right things, to do the correct things. Okay. Yasim Mireimar Bekamar Lola Hashmaita. Mireimar was sitting and saying over this idea that the Torah was given to people who were in the status of Tvul Yom. Amarle Ravina Lemireimar. Ravina said to Mireimar, Nitna Kamart. Are you telling me that people literally were Tvul Yom? Or Ru'uya Kamart. Are you saying that the Torah could have been given to people who were Tvulei Yom? But maybe it wasn't given to people who were Tvulei Yom. Maybe they actually went to the mikvah before Leil Shabbos and they didn't have any discharges of semen. I'm saying that it could have been given to people who were Tvulei Yom. Ask the Gemara. Again, we had said earlier that according to Rabbi Akiva, discharges of semen create tumah as for five onos, for five periods from the intercourse. Ask the Gemara. Why don't they go to the mikvah on Friday night? And let them get the Torah also on Friday night. Let them go to the mikvah on Friday night during Bein Hashmashos. And right afterwards, get the Torah. Why did Hashem wait to give us the Torah until the morning? If Hashem waits till the morning, maybe that means you need to have six periods of time to make sure that the semen that comes out is no longer creating impurity. Rabbi Yitzchak answered, the reason why the Torah was given during the day is because Hashem wanted to give it during daylight. The verse says, Lo meirosh baseser dibarti. Not from the beginning did I speak in that which was hidden. Hashem doesn't want to give the Torah the period of night. He wants to give the Torah during the day. Ask the Gemara, V'litvulu b'tzafra d'shabsa. Why didn't the women go to the mikvah on Shabbos morning? V'likavlu t'ayr b'tzafra d'shabsa. Let them accept the Torah, get the Torah on Shabbos morning. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Shelo yeh alalu holchen l'kabel Torah, v'alalu holchen l'tzvila. They didn't want a situation that some are going to the mikvah and others are going to get the Torah. We wanted everybody to get the Torah first thing in the morning, so that's why they had to go to the mikvah on Friday night. Amar Rav Chiya b'Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya said, Rav Chiya the son of Rav Abba, the name of Rav Yochanan. So this brisa about the semen's discharge is Divrei Rav Yishmael, Rav Akiva. These are the views of Rav Yishmael and Rav Akiva. How many periods would the semen still be considered fresh? That when it comes out of a woman, it would make her impure. Aval Chacham Omer, but the Chacham say that semen, even for 6 periods, Sheish Ono Shlemos Beinan, we need to have 6 complete periods for the semen to no longer be creating impurity. Okay. Amar Rav Chizda said, Machlok is this argument about the how much time when semen is discharging, would it create impurity? It's Keshapirsha Mina Isha. That's talking about semen that's coming out of a woman. I will pierce him in a ish, but the semen that comes out of a man, so, and it's on, let's say, his clothing, Tmeya, that's impure, Kolz Manshi Lecha, as long as it is moist. As long as it is moist, it can inseminate, and therefore it is impure. Master Rav Shesh has asked against this. We learned in a braisa, so the verse says, V'chol baget, and any garment, V'chol or any leather, Asher yil olav shichva zera, that will have on its semen, to exclude semen which has gotten ruined. My love, doesn't that mean Shapir Shamina Ish, that it had discharged from the man, and nevertheless, it does not create impurity? Says Gemara, lo, that's not the case, but rather Shapir Shamin Ha'isha. Talking about semen that came out of the woman. Once it comes out of the woman, if it is srucha, if it's no longer good semen, because it's already, you know, 5 periods later, or 4 periods later, or 6 periods later, or on the third day, it no longer creates impurity. But Rav Pap had a question. What would the law be about the semen of a Jew that was inside the innards of a Gentile woman, and now it came out? Does it create impurity? Do we say Yisrael did the keep mitzvos? Jews who are all worried about doing mitzvos, chavil gufay, their bodies are hot, and therefore the semen that comes out of those Jewish bodies is ruined. However, akum lo di give mitzvos, but Gentiles who are not worried to fulfill mitzvos, lo, their bodies aren't so warm, and therefore even after 3 days, the semen that comes out of the Gentile bodies is not ruined, and therefore it would still create impurity. Maybe keeping the Achish Gatzim or Mashim, since the Gentiles eat the non-kosher, therefore Chavul Gufayu, their bodies are heated, and them too, semen coming out of them after 3 days is no longer creating impurity because it can't inseminate. Then, if you're going to tell me, keeping the Achish Gatzim or Mashim, Chavul Gufayu, since they eat the dead rodents, their bodies are very hot. What about if you have human semen, unfortunately, b'mei behema, in the innards of an animal? What's the law? Isha the Isla Prozdor, a woman who has a narrow hallway, for her inner vagina. There, masrachas, there the semen gets ruined. Avol behema, but when the semen is in an animal womb, the Lesla Prozdor, we don't have this narrow hallway, lo, then maybe the semen doesn't get ruined. Al Dumaloshna, maybe there too the semen gets ruined, and after 3 days, it would be pure. Teku, we don't have an answer to this question. Okay, 1 second. Another question. Is there any commentary on how logistically over 1 million people were able to go to the mikvah in the middle of the desert, all basically at the same time? All right, that's a good question. I think the answer is the well of Miriam. The Midrashim tell us that the well of Miriam, the stone that became the spring of the well of Miriam, created streams that surrounded all the encampments of the Jews in the desert. So you had all these rivers all over the place. So you had many, many mikvahs. All right, Tanur Rabbanan Dinah Braisa. Now going to the story of getting the Torah at Har Sinai. B'shishi b'chodesh nitnu aseres hadibros liYisrael, according to the Tanakama, the Ten Commandments were given on the 6th day of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi says, B'shiva bo, on the 7th day of Sivan. Amar Rav said, Tukuliyam, everybody agrees, B'Rosh Chodesh, Aslam Midbar Sinai. On Rosh Chodesh, they arrived at Midbar Sinai. Sivach, it says over here, B'yom HaZeh, Midbar Sinai, this day they came to Midbar Sinai. Sivach, it says about Rosh Chodesh, HaChodesh, Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim. This is for you, Rosh Chodesh. So you have the Gzeirah Shavah, you have the same word of Hazeh Hazeh, Malahalan. So just like when it came to leaving Egypt, it began with Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu about Rosh Chodesh, Afkan, so to hear, it begins with Rosh Chodesh. Udukuliyam, and everybody agrees, B'Shabbos Nitna Torah LiYisrael. The Torah was actually given to the Jewish people on Shabbos Kodesh. Ksivacha says over here, Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Remember the Shabbos day to sanctify it. Ksivacha says over there, Vayomer Moshe La'am. Moshe told the people, Zachar Es Hayom HaZeh. Remember this day, Asher Yitzasim Mitzrayim, that you left Egypt. So just like Matan Torah is in the Ten Commandments, we have Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And we have in regards to leaving Egypt, Zachar Es Hayom HaZeh. Remember this day. So we have Zachar and Zachar. So therefore, you say like this, Malahalan, so just like Zachar Es Hayom HaZeh, remember this very day means Be'itzumo Shel Yom, when this day is happening, when you're leaving Egypt, Hashem says, remember this day. Afkan, so when Hashem says the same word, Zachar, in regards to Shabbos, Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, what it means is, Be'itzumo Shel Yom, Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, on this very day, on Shabbos, Hashem is telling you to remember the Shabbos day. So everybody agrees that the day of the week when the Torah was given was Shabbos. Everybody agrees that they got to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. So keep pligi. The question therefore is, where's the argument? Bekiva di'archa, what day of the week Rosh Chodesh was on? Rabbi Yossi Sabar Bechad B'Shaba, Ikva Yarcha. Rabbi Yossi holds that on Sunday, that was Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, Bechad B'Shaba on that Sunday, Lo Amar Luv Lo Mid Yashem, didn't tell Moshe to give the Jews any commands, Mishum Chol Shadu Urcha, because everybody was tired after their travels. Betray B'Shaba on Monday, Amalu Hashem told them, Atem to you, Limam Lechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. You're going to be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. It's the day of the bris, the day of the covenant. But plus, on Tuesday, Amalu Mitzvah Sagbala. Hashem told Moshe to tell the people to put up the fence around Har Sinai to keep the people from getting too close. Barba, on Wednesday, Avod Prusha. Moshe Rabbeinu told the men to separate from the women, no more marital relations. Rabbanan Savri, where's the Rabbanan? Who held that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan? They hold Betrei B'Shaba Ikvi Yarcha. On Monday, that was Rosh Chodesh. Betrei B'Shaba on Monday when they came to Midbar Sinai, to the Sinai Desert. Lo Amar V'lo Mu'idi, Hashem didn't tell them anything. Mishum Chol Shadu Urcha, because they were very tired. Bitlasa on Tuesday, Amar Luhu, Hashem told them, the covenant attempt to Yuli. Barba on Wednesday, Amar Luhu, Mitzvah Sagbala. That's when he told them to separate the mountain away, separate from the mountain. And B'chamishin, only on Thursday, Avid Prisha, that's when they separated from their wives. And the Torah was given, again, on Shabbos. Okay, so now we're going to see the Gemara is going to have lots of discussions about this issue. But again, that's the bottom line of the Gemara. I just want to share one thought from Rav Kook here in Ein Hayah. Rav Kook tells us, it's very interesting that the Gemara basically sets up a parallel between the creation of the world and the giving of the Torah. The world, as we know, was created over the course of a week, culminating on Shabbos Kodesh, by Yechul HaShemayim V'aretz, that's when the heavens and the earth were completed. And here also we have basically a week culminating with Matan Torah. Everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos Kodesh. Rav Kook says that that's to teach us a very powerful lesson. There's a parallel between the natural world and the Torah. And of course there should be such a parallel. Because Estakel Bo'oraiso Bara Alma, God looked into the Torah as the blueprints to create the world. So just like the creation of Ma'aseh Bereishis, the creation of the world, ended with Shabbos, that was the culmination, the process of giving the Torah is completed with Shabbos Kodesh. And it's another lesson as well. We know that Shabbos is the day of Menucha, it's the day of rest. When we have the privilege of learning Hashem's Torah, the privilege of fulfilling mitzvos, it's not just that these are obligations, but even better, these are our ways to achieve Menucha. The way for the soul, for a person to feel Menucha Sanefesh, peace, to know that he's doing the right thing, he's fulfilling what Hashem wants him to do with his life, is through learning Torah and through fulfilling mitzvos. And that's what the Torah was given on Shabbos Kodesh. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Thank you very much.